That'd be pretty good. That'd be pretty good. Okay, Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5 and Romans 2. Romans 2. Perfect song for this one. If we don't catch the gratitude attitude, I'm going to show you the end result if we don't have gratitude. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray before we read this. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand these words. I pray you'd help us to know how to apply these things. I pray you'd help us to appreciate what you've done. Come hell or high water, help us to appreciate what you've done. And help us to worship thee and to recognize that there are going to be times where it's very, very difficult to do that. And in fact, it will be impossible to do that in the flesh. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to honor your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Isaiah 5 reveals God looking at Israel as the beloved, and then it goes down to tubes. In Romans 2, it starts off where, again, as the individual, okay, being born again, or even if a person isn't, starting off with God's goodness and then how it goes down to God's wrath. It's a digression down from God's goodness down to God's wrath. And it's when God gets mean. Okay, it's when God gets mean. Isaiah 5 shows the part of it. Romans 2 shows the beginning steps of this thing. Isaiah 5 verse 1, he said, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes." Should have been good grapes, but it's bad grapes. "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should brought forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry." Okay, what happened here? Okay, Israel was God's blessed. You can see it's very clear. The Bible interpretation is very clear. The vineyard is Israel. That's not my interpretation. That's what it said. And from history, you and I can look back and see that Israel was God's beloved, but Israel degenerated down to a point where God got mean with Israel and smacked them around. Okay, what happened in there? From God's beloved down to the briars and thorns. What happened in there? Okay, now that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Romans 2 shows a similar process for the individual. The degenerate path of man toward the individual judgment. Now, the degenerate paganism of America has almost been complete. Okay, do you recognize, and I've usually mentioned this time of year being Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is probably the only spiritual holiday that we have. Halloween is pagan. Christmas is pagan. Black Friday, that's commercial. Okay, Valentine's Day, that's pagan. It's really interesting if you read the holidays and how much they're rooted in paganism. Okay, but even at that, notice, we've all noticed this, or many of you noticed this, because I usually say it every year about this time of year. The world goes from Halloween to Christmas. Now they're going from Halloween to Black Friday to Christmas. Okay, that's the project. That's the procedure. Why is that? Why do they do that? Why is it that they do that? Because Thanksgiving Day, who can you be thankful to? Who is an evolutionist thankful for? An amoeba? Frog? You know, the Big Bang, or the scientific word for that, the Maximus Bangus? You know, I like Sam Gipps' thing. You got to get scientific, a Maximus Bangus. Okay, who are they thankful? They can't be thankful to anybody except themselves. Thanksgiving is a spiritual holiday. It's very similar to the Feast of Feast of Tabernacles in the Bible. It's a harvest gratitude towards God. That's what Thanksgiving. That's why the world tries to ignore it. They skip from Halloween, a pagan holiday, right into Christmas, commercialism. And the only reason people don't mind thinking about Jesus during Christmas time, because he's a baby, and babies don't offend anybody. Okay, and so that's the process. Now, when I was a kid, I remember Halloween where people, if they decorated for Halloween, it was cute little ghosts and, you know, little things like that. Now, it is absolute, in-your-face paganism. Shrunken skulls, cemeteries, gravestones. I mean, paganism is full and running over in America, and now we have Christians even condoning watching Twilight, vampires, and being a part of that. That's absolute paganism. That's where our country has degenerated down. And now Christians expect God to bless America when that is all over with, as far as that goes. How does it go down there? What's the process? If we can stop the first step, if we don't even make the first step down this road, then we can avoid all these other problems. Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3 gives the individual process. If the beginning steps toward the wrath of God are avoided, then the final steps are averted. Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3 reveals the process toward the wrath of God, down the wrath of God. Romans 1:18 is the beginning of this process, where it starts off with the wrath of God is revealed. The wrath of God is revealed. It gravitates down to chapter 3, verse 19, when the wrath of God is revealed, or the judgment of God is revealed. Romans 3:19 says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." Now that actually is going to take place at the white throne judgment. But when God completes this process of judging man, man will draw the conclusion, God is right and I am wrong. That's the conclusion. Now, in the Romans 3, if you put that in a doctrinal setting, that will take place at the white throne judgment. And when that man admits, I am wrong, then God will look to the angels and said, bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness. And that person will say, amen. He's right. Why? Because God has revealed himself and what he has done. And we will discover that when God judges, he is right. Now, in Romans chapter 2, we all judge, everybody judge. You know, the famous words, judge not to be not judged. I mean, that's kind of comical. People say that. We judge every single day. The Bible says, he that spiritual judgeth all things. The idea on that, judge not to be not judged, is basically the teaching of that is that you recognize that you will be judged in the same fashion and mode that you judge. So make sure your judgment is just. Jesus Christ said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. So that thing in Matthew 7 about judge not that you be not judged, whenever you hear somebody quote that verse, recognize that that verse is written to a hypocrite, Matthew 7 verse 5. And either that person that quotes that verse is one of two things, a hypocrite, or they're ignorant about the doctrine of that verse. So we'll give them a break on that one. That's one of the two. You don't have any other choices. Those are the two choices, okay, on that issue about judging. Now, Romans 2, verse 1 says, therefore, thou art an excusable old man, whosoever thou art that judges. See, he knows we judge. We all judge. Any good parent is going to judge. You don't want your kids to hang around in low lives. You're going to judge. Okay? For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. Most people judge God. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth, because against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impudent heart treasurest up rash unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds? So, that's the process. Now, God does give a remedy in this fashion. In Romans chapter 3, after one recognizes their guilt, it's best to recognize your guilt here on earth. And when you recognize that you are guilty, that God is right, you are wrong, God gives us a remedy in chapter 3, verse 20, all the way through chapter 5, and the remedy is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, it's good to have that remedy. But if a person rejects that remedy, then they're going to face the Lord Jesus Christ at the white throne judgment. Now, what is this process? If you go back to chapter 1 and we find out what is the first step down this road of admission of guilt, down this road of the wrath of God. Now, I like reading portions of the Bible where it says you stay to become the apple of God's eye. I want to stay in the favor of God's goodness. God, in the Old Testament, had a respect towards a race of people, and that was called the Jewish people. Yes, he gave them benefits. He gave them obligations, but he also gave them benefits. But they were not grateful of the benefits. Fell out of God's favor, and God had to demonstrate his wrath towards them. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, notice, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because, verse 21, because, here's the reason why, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Now, I've talked to many of people who claim to be an atheist. I do not believe they're an atheist. I've talked to many that says they're an agnostic. An agnostic is a nice way of saying ignoramus. It's a nice way of saying I'm stupid. Okay? That's an intellectual way of saying that. It's really an insult to yourself. I don't know anything at all. You know, I told that to a lady in Mona one time. I was trying to witness her. She said, I'm an agnostic. I said, does that mean you don't know anything about everything? She didn't like my definition, slammed the door in my face. Okay? An atheist. Actually, I've never met a full-fledged atheist. I've talked to some that say they are atheists. And actually, when you talk to somebody who claims to be an atheist, you're not getting them to admit there's to believe in God. You're getting them, trying to get them to admit there is a God. They know there's God. They know it. You see? And if these dear people fell out of an airplane without a parachute, they'd scream, oh my God, all the way down. And if you could float with them saying, I cut that out, cut that out, cut that out. You know, like one atheist was dying. This is a real story. One atheist was dying and another was with him in his death. And he kept saying, hold out, because a lot of times atheists, when they die, they're screaming out to God. And the other atheist was wanting him to hold out to the end. Don't say that word. Don't say that word. Don't say that word. And the guy said, there's nothing to hold to, and died. Atheists, like Richard Dawkins, talk more about God than Christians do. They can't leave it alone. Why? Because God is pricking their conscience, knowing, you're going to face me someday, pal. You're going to face me someday, pal. They know. The light of Christ has been revealed to them. Verse 19 says, God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, Richard Dawkins admits that the Big Bang probably started by aliens giving us this beginning. There's his God, there's his creator. Okay, and so he says, it says, they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and notice the next words, neither were thankful. The first thought I want to give you this morning about when God does get mean is that the expression of gratitude about blessings is simply consideration. To express the two words, thank you. When someone treats you good, nice, polite, eases your life, your burden of life, that is simply consideration. That should be a no-brainer. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5, but thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Our third song, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. That is simply consideration. Americans have gotten to the point where they don't even thank God for the good things. You ever hold the door open for somebody and they don't say thank you? What's the reaction? You dirty scumbag, come back here and hold your own stinking door. I want to hear thank you, because thank you. Many Americans have gotten to the point where they expect the world revolves around them. Government handouts are called what now? Bill Clinton started this term, entitlements. All government handouts are stolen property. You've received stolen goods. If you haven't paid in, it's stolen goods. It's stolen from somebody else. They just don't make it out of thin air. But an expression of gratitude towards kindness and mercy, towards others, from others, and you express your gratitude towards them, that's just consideration. That's just being polite to people. Thank you for helping me out. You took your time, you took your money, you took your efforts to help me out. You didn't have to do that. Thank you for that. Notes of gratitude towards people, thanksgiving, being appreciative, enjoying what you have, thanking God for it and enjoying it. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, God says that he's given you and I things. If he's given you some things, some items, some money or whatnot, he's given that to you to enjoy. Don't feel guilty about that. On Thanksgiving Day, if you're watching a football game at halftime, when they bring out and try to make you feel guilty because somebody's homeless, and to try to make you feel guilty because you're not homeless, you got a home. No, you don't feel guilty about that. You thank God for that. You thank God for that. And you enjoy what he's given us. If you want to help somebody out who's having a tough time, help them out. Do what you can to be a blessing to them. And hopefully you hear the words, thank you. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, when a man has lost his gratitude, he is well nigh hopeless. Express appreciation towards your parents. What they've done for you. You say, my parents, it didn't matter. They gave you life. Express appreciation to people about blessings. That is just simple consideration. Now, when you can express appreciation and thank others for the good things they've done to you, that's like silver. Now, we're going to have a step up here. A step up, the second thought is, when you can express gratitude about the troubles, the trials, the problems in life, that's like gold. When you could thank the Lord for the good times, that's like silver. But when you could thank the Lord for the bad times, that's like gold. That's worship. That is worship at its highest. When you could worship God, that's worship when Job, after he lost 10 children, he lost his wealth, he lost about everything, and he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's worship. That's gratitude for bad times. You see, that is when a person has reached a level that God wants us to be, where we have an absolute faith and trust in God. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying I'm one that does that. I'm just saying that's where the Lord has wanted us to get. If you would look in Hebrews chapter 13. Of all the years I've traveled and gone into prisons and preached at fellas, I probably in less than five, I've heard a guy actually say, but I've heard two or three or four, I can't remember exact count, but it's no more than five, actually say to me, I can thank God for putting me in jail. There's a missionary down in Chile by the name of Phil Robinson. Phil spent 5 years in a federal pen. That's where God got a hold of him. And God got a hold of Phil Robinson, and now he's a missionary down in Chile. And looking back, he could thank God for catching him with his drugs, for putting him in jail, for him getting a hold of God while he's in prison, and him getting out and going to Bible school and then going down to Chile. And he could thank God for that. Now, at the time, could he thank God? I don't know. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, he says this, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Now, why does he call that a sacrifice of praise? Okay, if you understand the doctrine of the Bible, if you delve into the doctrine of the Bible, remember that the book of Hebrews is written to, this is not a difficult one. They don't get this at the Christian colleges. This one goes over their head. It's written to the Hebrews. Now, that's pretty unique. If you go to all the Christian colleges, they say it's written to Jewish Christians. No, it's written to Hebrews, like it says. And in chapter 1, verse 2, it's written to Hebrews who are living in the last days. And then you run through the Bible and find out when the last days are. And the last days are referring to the 7-year tribulation time period. And he is telling those Hebrews in the tribulation time period, you need to sacrifice a praise to God. For what? What will they be in danger of? The 12 tribes during the tribulation time period, if they don't run, they get caught, they will be in prison very temporarily, then they will be carted down to the Jewish temple, sacrificed in a religious ceremony, their body will be flayed apart in pieces, and the Antichrist will eat their body and will drink their blood. And he says, you need to offer a sacrifice of praise to me. That's being grateful. It's called a sacrifice of praise because it's very difficult to say thank you for those time periods. If you go to the next page, James chapter 1, he reinforces that truth. James says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Are you serious, God? I'm to count it joy that I'm running for my life. If I get caught, I'm going to be killed and sacrificed in religious ceremony. That will be broadcast throughout the world. And the world will laugh and enjoy that these Jews are getting killed. The Muslims will revel and dance in the street as they behead every Jew that they can find. And you, God, are telling me to count that all joy? Are you nuts? That's what he says. You see, to an expression of gratitude about one's trials is worship. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul said, "Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your hearts to the Lord." And then he says in verse 20, "And giving thanks to his name." Giving thanks to his name. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do for his children? He suffered and died. Giving thanks to his name. When you go back to Romans chapter 5, you'll find in Romans 5 verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Now that's where you start with God. You have peace with God through justification, through faith in Jesus Christ. Where he wants to get us is to have the peace of God, and that is absolute sanctification. And what is that? It's like justification by faith. Sanctification is by faith. Justification by faith when you believe in Jesus Christ. Sanctification by faith when you believe in the Spirit of God. And then he works in your heart where you can actually have some gratitude towards God during trials, difficulties, tribulations. That's a difficult route. Now, the person that demonstrated this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, we fall into the same trap because we live in this country with much prosperity, even though all of it's debt. But still, there is some prosperity. And often people will say that God has been good. But usually when we say that God has been good, we usually fall into the trap that we're referring to the blessings of life. If God saved my soul when I was 9 years old, when I trusted Jesus Christ, if God saved my soul and dumped me in a ditch to rot and die, God still would have been good. He still would have been good. The average lifespan of a born-again believer in North Korea is 18 months. Once someone gets born again in North Korea, whatever age it is, their average lifespan after the new birth is 18 months. And when you read about the testimony of those Christians in that country, and on occasion you might hear some of their stories. I read a account about a woman there that went through those prisons and everything. You know what they'll say? They'll say, God is good. That's what they'll say. They'll say, God is good. To them, after they've lost their family, after they suffered in prison, after even probably when they see the Lord Jesus Christ from martyrdom, they'll say, God is good. God is good. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, here's a man that I know I haven't attained this. I know it's not even there. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, here's the Apostle Paul. He said this. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Jesus Christ said to him, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul, here's what Paul, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. This guy's a nutcase. This guy needs to be put in a straitjacket. Glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Paul, you take pleasure when you're sick as a dog? You are a mental case, my friend. I take pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now there is sanctification at its fullest. When one has an expression of gratitude about their troubles in life, that is worship. That is absolute worship of Jesus Christ. That is an absolute faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Daniel in the lion's den who can thank God. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace who can thank God for the fiery furnace. That's the expression of gratitude through one's trials and trouble. That's worship. If you would, look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. 1 Timothy 2, verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority. Let's get a little bit practical. Thank God for Barack Obama. Yeah. Thank God for a nutcase like Nancy Pelosi. Thank God for these federal tyrants that we have in our country. Thank God for the state tyrants that we have in our country. You say, what side of the aisle are you on? Neither. Democrats, Republicans, one is an absolute tyrant, one is a gentle tyrant. Still a tyrant. You see? Thank God for the tyrants in your county. Age on end, for time and time and time, what goes on throughout the world is productive people try to make a life for themselves, try to make a living, try to make the ends meet. And some non-productive governmental agent will be taking from the productive. This has been going on for years. Nothing has changed, and in fact, it's going to get worse. The New World Order is tightening the screws tighter and tighter and tighter. Your liberties are being lost time and time again. Why? It's God is trying to get you and I to realize that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I cannot wait for the day when the monarch Jesus Christ runs this world. The Lord is just letting us know, don't set your roots too deep down here. You see, the ones at the top are always raping the ones at the bottom. I don't care if you call it a monarchy, if you call it a socialism, if you call it an oligarchy, if you call it a democracy, if you call it a republic. I don't care what type of government you got. Every single one of them in this world is raping the guys at the bottom. Nothing's going to change that until Jesus Christ comes back. He's going to change that. He's going to be the one to change that. You see, what the Lord is doing is He is working in His children's lives, getting them to the point where you and I recognize it's you and Him. It's you and Him alone. And the Lord is looking for someone that's going to help Him understand about the frustrations of being taken advantage of, being stolen from, even though it's legalized theft. He's wanting somebody to understand that so that when he rules, he wants somebody to help him to recognize, don't do that. And so he has to put us through it so that we recognize about the liberties that we have in Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians, he calls this being worthy of the kingdom of God. This is not salvation per se. This is serving the Lord Jesus after death, after the judgment seat. It's being part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, getting the rule and reign with Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now I know you and I always want to hurry that up and say, when is that going to happen? The sooner the better. You see, if you had a company and you didn't have any heir and you was wanting to find somebody to take over your company, would you hire the next guy that walked into the store? Of course not. You would try to find somebody who was honest, somebody who had integrity. You would put that individual through a series of tests. You'd put them through a series of tests without them knowing that you're testing them. Why? Because you want to find out their character, their makeup, their mindset. If you're going to put somebody in a position where they're going to actually take over your company, you want somebody who thinks like you. And the only way you're going to do that is you're going to run them through a series of tests to discover their heart. The Lord is no different. He will take his children and he will run them through a series of tests. Why? To check out our heart. To see where we're at on this thing. And when a person gets to the point where they can actually express some gratitude toward God through the difficult times, the Lord is well pleased. Now, I'm not saying that's easy to do. And I'm not saying, and I am telling you that you cannot do it in the flesh. And I'm telling you that when you go through those difficult times, you're going to be crying. You're going to be laying your head on your pillow at night and can't sleep. And when you pray, you will be uttering groans. And that is the best prayers that you could pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, there's a promise in the Bible where it says that the Spirit itself, who bears witness with our spirit, that we're children of God. And then it says the Spirit will intercede. He will take our groanings and make the most beautiful scriptural prayer to the throne of God. And when you yield to that Spirit, and you verbally cry out to Him and ask Him to help you, and you say, I am dead. I am dead to bitterness. I am dead to hatred. I am dead. You say, I wouldn't mean it. I don't mean it either the first time I say it. And so I say it two or three or four times. I am dead to that bitterness. I don't mean it, Lord, but I'm dead to it. And when you ask that and cry out to the Spirit of God gently comes in and starts filling your body, and He starts healing those wounds. You see, because you and I can't do it. Somebody hurts you bad, especially if they hurt your child, they hurt them bad. Hey, it's a parent's inhibition. It's a parent's desire. You hurt my kid, I'm hurting you. And I'm going to hurt you bad for hurting my kid. Do you think the Lord's any different when somebody hurts His kids? The thing is that we got to go to Him and let Him take care of it. The Lord will take care of it. The Spirit of God is the one that can do it. You see, but the problem is that when we lose our gratitude, when we forfeit that gratitude, if you would look at Romans chapter 2, then God must step in and display His anger toward the ungrateful. Everybody gets tired of being used by ungrateful people. When no appreciation expressed, then it's going to result in a depreciation of kindness. Romans chapter 2, the question shows here that what should lead each of us to repentance to God is His goodness, His forbearance, and His long-suffering. That's what should lead us to repentance of God. But the sad fact is that it rarely does. And when it doesn't, then what God will do is He will forfeit His temporal goodness, what we think is His temporal goodness, and He will damage and even destroy a temporal body so that in the long run, His goodness is eternal and He saves an eternal soul. That's what God does. And people say, God's mean. He is mean when you reject His goodness. You have forced His hand. And God does get mean in our mindset when we reject His goodness, His forbearance, His long-suffering. When we do not accept and are grateful about the goodness of God and by the Spirit of God can even express gratitude about the difficulties of life and the trials of life and the trouble that we've gone through, and ask the Spirit of God to take away this bitterness and ask the Spirit of God to help us with our groanings, then God can come in sweetly and try to help us through these difficult times. But if we reject that, then God is forced to shift from judgment toward that party and work on us more. And you see, and that's the pattern He follows. Why? Because He wants our eternal goodness to be made manifest. He'll forfeit. The last time this country as a nation thought about God, the last time was in the Great Depression. Now, I wasn't around then. Okay, but that was the last time this country thought about God. And I can dare say that some of those Christians that went through the Great Depression and suffered and lost everything they had, and when they got a hold of God, as they're in heaven now, I bet you they'll tell you they are so thankful for the Great Depression. I bet you they'll tell you they are so thankful that the international bankers orchestrated the Great Depression. For their own gain, the international bankers did it for their own gain and their own control, but they can say, I can thank God because I got a hold of God. I met God. All that didn't matter when I met God, when I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, and this is what the Lord often does. Now, when God pulls a rug out onto this country again, as he will, because all nations that forget God will be brought into hell. Will Americans turn to that God? I hope so. I don't know. I'm not holding my breath. But you see, what the Lord is doing is he's trying to get our attention. He wants each and every one of us to have a closer relationship with him, where not only can we thank him for the good times, but we could also see long term and we could thank him for the bad times. And that's when it becomes worship. Gratitude towards blessings is consideration. That's like silver. Gratitude towards the trouble of life, that's worship. That's like gold. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this truth. Help us this, not just this Thursday, but every day to express some gratitude towards these. Lord, if we're not grateful for the good times, Lord, how are we going to be grateful for the bad times? What we interpret to be bad times, what we interpret to be trouble, problems, what you interpret to manifest yourself and your power. And Lord, I pray you'd, I know many folks are going through some difficult times. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to allow the Spirit of God to interpret our groanings, yield to him, help us through these difficult times, and even to offer the sacrifice of praise toward thee like Job did. And Lord, I know we're not even come close to what Job's gone through, and not even come close to what the Jews are going to go through in a tribulation time period. But Lord, I just pray you'd help us to express our gratitude towards thee. While heads bowed and eyes are closed, the piano will play, the altar's open. Thanksgiving. In that Romans passage, that one of them first steps, it says they were not thankful. Neither were thankful. And when you keep reading down that Romans passage, you see the Sodomites show up in verse 26, 27, 28. I'd certainly hate to have one of the same characteristics as a Sodomite. No gratitude. No gratitude. Thank you, Mom, for that fine meal. Thank you, Mom, for that horrible meal. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Expression of gratitude towards the goodness of a people is consideration. Expression of gratitude towards the difficulty, that's worship. Lord, I do pray you'd help us recognize that this life is full of trouble. Now, obviously, living in this country is one of the easiest, you know, as far as the blessings, because of the Christian foundation that this country has. And we're still reaping those benefits. But, Lord, this country is fast becoming a pagan country. Lord, we got a Muslim in the White House. And, Lord, we are to express thanks. A lot of times somebody like that really opens up people's eyes. But does it draw them to thee? I don't know. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be people that express our gratitude, not only for the good things, but Lord, help us to express our gratitude towards thee through the troubles, through the problem. We don't understand a lot of it. But Lord, help us to recognize that you are God and you do love your children. And you do chasten those whom you love. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to yield to the Spirit of God and express some gratefulness and gratitude and praise and offer praise to thee in Jesus' name. Amen.